This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent. It's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
Hi, everyone. Hope you're having a fantastic Sunday. It's about to get better here in One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. Tonight on the show, amongst my great roster of guests, Senator Bill Cassidy wants to end the shutdown, all about health care. He's a doctor. He's going to tell us the Republican strategy. And Bret Baier got a great new book. Also, he's going to break down what they're doing with the gerrymandering and how that could really turn the election in the midterms, maybe buck tradition, and Jimmy Fallon. We'll do the media moments that really matter to him, which is going to be extremely important. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. And we begin tonight with a story that is taking the gambling world, the sports world, by storm.
This is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spanned the course of years.
This scheme is an insider sports betting conspiracy that exploited confidential information about National Basketball Association athletes and teams. The second indictment involves 31 defendants alleged to have participated in a nationwide scheme to rig illegal poker games.
It was a stunning press conference. Not one scam, but two scams exposed. Remember, there was a time when one thought about sports betting, they only thought of one person, Pete Rose, and one game, baseball, remember? And they thought of Las Vegas.
Who could resist? Anywhere else in the country, I was a bookie, a gambler, always looking over my shoulder, hassled by cops day and night. But here, I'm Mr. Rothstein. I'm not only legitimate, but running a casino. And that's like selling people dreams for cash.
Yep, they thought of Atlantic City, too. You know, CD sports books, perhaps, or bookies in your local bar. But now, all that is a thing of the past because it's legal in 39 states, most likely eventually 50.
New customers play $5 to get 50 instantly and pick six credits. The crown is yours.
Charcuteries?
Oh, please. Thank you, man. Thank you. They want somebody that can run a 40, not somebody that is 40. When the coach calls your number, you're going to say, G56, bingo. How you going to celebrate a win? You going to give everybody butterscotch candy? Probably out your pocket with no wrappers on it. Just going to give them raw candy. That's nasty, by the way.
The NBA playoffs are here, and I'm betting rebound props on FanDuel. After all, I am the league's greatest rebounder. Ain't that right, Chuck GPT?
Incorrect.
Well, top five for sure.
You are 19th on the all-time list.
Think about it. It's everywhere. The stars are selling it. You're seeing it. In my opinion, this is the most understandable addiction out there. And it's a cash cow. Last year, commercial gaming revenue rose to $72 billion in the U.S. And gaming tax revenue goes to about $16 billion to all the states. And it's still going up. This year, that was just the 2024 number. But despite being legal now in most of the country, this was always going to be a problem, in my view. Sizable scandals were inevitable because there will always be some knuckleheads out there that have to play outside the lines. It was just a question of when and how big.
They literally had scanners at the poker tables where they literally had professional athletes in the NBA walk off the court so their proposition bets could be met is a coordinated scheme with La Casa Nostra and the individuals that we arrested today. And it's been going on for some time. And we are going to continue to work this investigation and those that have been arrested today to make sure that illegal gambling empires embedded with the La Casa Nostra are brought down, whether they're in the NBA or anywhere else.
Yeah. Did I mention four mob families involved? Just a few of those involved include a current NBA coach, a Hall of Fame player, and Chauncey Billups, who's also a coach, and has made over $100 million over the course of his career. He got a current guard for the Miami Heat, Terry Rozier. He makes about $25 million a year. And a former player turned coach, Damon Jones, who made about $22 million over the course of his career, mostly as a backup guard. So how deep does this scheme go?
Not only did we crack into the fraud that these perpetrators committed on the grand stage of the NBA, but we also entered and executed a system of justice against La Casa Nostra to include the Bonanno, Gambino, Genovese, and Lucchesi crime families.
This is amazing. So there you have it, a high-tech cheating scandal involving mobsters for the biggest crime families there is, partnering with NBA players and coaches to dupe nitwits out of millions of dollars. And I'm getting the sense this is just the beginning. But let's bring in my great guest to offer some critical insight. You got former Colombo crime family mobster turned fantastic podcaster Michael Francis and former MLB pitcher Curt Schilling, who I hope will eventually end up in the Hall of Fame. Michael, to you, four mob families, not your former mob family, involved. Did it surprise you?
You know, the indictments don't surprise me and the activity don't surprise me, but I was kind of surprised. Normally, you don't have four families working together like that in a scam. So it kind of surprised me. I was wondering why the Colombos were left out. Either they got smart or they just didn't get a piece of the action. I don't know.
All right, Curt, we were talking before the show. You're not surprised by this. In fact, how are you connected to Michael?
So Michael may not remember this, but back in the early 90s, baseball was trying to get a wrap around this. And they actually, every spring, we would have one of the intelligence, FBI, CIA groups being brought in to lecture us and inform us of the things that were out there. And Michael came in one spring training and told us about his life and how they got into athletes' lives. And we it was eye-opening in a sense, but it made me start to watch. The 1919 White Sox scandal, Michael. 1963, Pete Rose came into the game of baseball. The mob's been around all the time,
right?
And you're talking about 40, 50, 60, 70 billion dollars. I would argue, Michael, that's why they're working together now.
So,
well, no question about it. You know, Curt, they recruited me out of prison, you know, to come and speak to all the players, both in the NBA, the NFL, and MLB. And we had a great program that we put together. I'm still doing it on the college level. You know, this year alone, I spoke to a couple of universities, and none of this surprises me. You know, Brian,
no.
You got to understand this about Cosa Nostra, about the mob, my former associates. Prohibition was huge back then. We made a lot of money, but it had a short run. It was 10, 11 years. I was in the gas business, defrauded the government out of tax on every gallon of gasoline, had about an eight-year run on that. You know, they come and go. But gambling is always the main business of that life. They love right. it. They're good at it. They're very resourceful. Athletes are always a target because we can get them sometimes to compromise the outcome of a game. They get in trouble, you know, quite often. I had 12 bookmakers working under me. That's why they recruited me, because they knew I had athletes gambling with me at the time. So none of this surprises right. me. You know, the fact that the four families are involved, you know, normally they don't do that. But, you know, they must have seen something here. And I know it spreads across a couple of states. So I can tell you this.
What?
I guarantee you this is only the tip of the iceberg.
You mean within the NBA, or you just think other leagues are involved? No, this all changed, Curt. Everything you said is correct. That's what you lived. And, Michael, we know you lived it. You talked about it. You talk about it every day. But things changed about gambling in 2018, 2019, when the Supreme Court said, hey, you can actually bet on these games and let the leagues get involved in this. And to the league's credit, the NCAA and all the pro leagues said they didn't want any part of this. And now that they're in it, you saw the guys that were advertising for FanDuel and DraftKings. These are the who's who in sports. So, Kurt, is it even more tempting now, do you think, for a player to say, I can hit it big or be susceptible as a target?
Gambling becoming legal. And by the way, let me just mention two things. Tim Donaghy in the NBA wasn't the first ref to ever get – to ever do it, right? But think about, Occam's razor comes into play here in the sense that how many times have we spent Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday talking about the phantom call in the NFL game or the late field goal that covers the spread? That, you know, a lot of times when you look for a complicated answer, it generally is the most basic one. But what this has done, Brian, this has done to professional sports what the NIL did to college sports. The NIL just made it legal for all the things that were happening already illegally. The betting, and like Michael said, you're talking about $70 billion. So it's not going to change. It's not going to go away.
Yep.
You saw two Cleveland pitchers who were suspended this year for literally throwing games, in a sense.
Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about that. We talked before the show. Get this, Michael, final thought. Americans waged $147 billion in 2024 on various sporting events. So if we think that temptation, my hope was this would be the wake-up call. Kurt doesn't think so. Do you think so when we see the humiliation?
No, I don't. You know, the more access you have to something like this, the worse it's going to get. Quick example. When off-track betting came into New York, some of the cops on the street were coming to us because we had all the bookmakers working with us and they said, we're going to put you out of business. And we said, yeah, watch. What happens? You go to OTB. Now people that never gamble with a bookmaker are going to off-track betting. But what happens there? You have to put your credit card down. You got to pay with cash. And what happens when they lose their money there? Now they look for the bookmaker. They actually increased the business of organized crime by making it legal. And that's the same thing that's happening right now. The more access you give, the more you give my former associates the opportunity to get involved, and the more people are going to get in trouble, no doubt.
Michael and Kurt, this has been great. I need another hour. We'll have you back. And Kurt, I want you to get that University of Tennessee baseball job. If they are smart, they will hire one of the greatest pitchers of his generation.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Michael,
always
great. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Michael.
Thank you. And Kurt, thanks a lot, Kurt.
All right. What a memory. What a connection. We didn't know. All eyes on New York City's mayoral race. You got a new report that claims the Chinese-owned TikTok is quietly tipping the scales in favor of Zohran Mamdani over Andrew Cuomo. I know, TikTok again. The Chinese-owned app algorithm is distorting the playing field in New York City's mayor's race, amplifying pro-Mamdani content while suppressing videos backing Andrew Cuomo. TikTok, of course, denies this, calling the study bogus, politically motivated, but the timing is raising eyebrows. I'm going to add to that. The report just says over the weekend that revelations have come to fruition that Mamdani's campaign took nearly $13,000 from foreign donors. Why do they care about the mayor's race? Records show 79 of those donations still have not been returned, despite campaign finance laws banning foreign contributions. But no one seems to care. Joining us right now, two people that do. Got Aaron McGuire is going to help us out, and Mark Thiessen together. Guys, great to see you. First off, Aaron, to you. Something suspicious is going on here in New York. Mamdani, 34 years old with no experience and a smile that never leaves him, sweaty on the debate stage, but suddenly he's got a consistent 20-point lead. Do you see anything in this foreign influence?
Well, it's easy to understand why there is so much foreign weigh-in and foreign interest in this Zohran Mamdani race in New York City. Zohran himself, an immigrant to the United States from Uganda, is on video saying that he came to the United States to shape this nation to reflect the one he came from. And let's be honest here, that foreign money coming into campaigns, Brian, you're right, that is illegal. And at best, it's just sloppy work by his campaign. But at worst, it's much more nefarious. There are outside countries and entities trying to bolster someone who would be the mayor of the largest city in the United States. And where does this all come from? This is a socialist who, for whatever reason, is now about to become the mayor. And that reason is Democrat egos in New York. Cuomo was chased out of the governor's office for sexual harassment and killing COVID patients in nursing homes, let alone decimating New York's economy. But he decided he needed to run. And then Eric Adams himself was indicted and had flaws and issues and was not delivering. But Democrats in New York couldn't put up anybody reasonable. And so now we're staring down a socialist 34-year-old who's about to destroy New York. My only hope, I have two. One, he doesn't destroy it so much that we can't come back from it. And two, whatever the political reckoning is for New York on the other side of Zoran Mondami's win, I hope it means that Elise Stefanik becomes the governor of the state.
Mark?
So as far as TikTok, communists know their own. He's a communist. Like, I know he says he's a democratic socialist. He calls himself a socialist. You know who else called himself democratic? The Democratic People's Republic of North Korea, the Democratic Republic of Vietnam, the Democratic Republic of East Germany. Every communist regime in history has called themselves democratic. He is a communist. He has said that he wants to seize the means of production, abolish private property, and he said from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. He put that out on X, which comes straight from Karl Marx, and it's something that Joseph Stalin put in the Soviet Constitution as the definition of communism. Mm-hmm. So let's not beat around the bush and call him a socialist. He's a communist. And I'd also like to know, how much is the value of tipping the scales in TikTok in this election as a foreign contribution? The Chinese Communist Party is making that decision to tip the scales towards Zoran Mondami. That means he is taking an in-kind contribution from the Chinese Communist Party, which is helping him by amplifying him on TikTok and pushing down his opponent.
We saw the same thing, and they're going to bat for the Palestinians. We know that everything is anti-Semitic, and you're not going to see much pro-Taiwan reports and algorithms. I don't know how that happens, but they should have banned TikTok a year ago. The president's still waiting on it. Meanwhile, from Portland to Chicago and now New York City, ICE agents are being painted as the villains, not the criminals that they're targeting. You got Portland local police look the other way. In Chicago, city leaders make ICE the enemy. And now in New York City, ICE raids along Canal Street have exposed illegal immigrants selling fraudulent merchandise. But instead of outrage over the law breaking, Democrats are rolling out a master ICE tracker to help illegals avoid arrest. And once again, attacking law enforcement for protecting American laws, borders, and communities.
That I know best because I helped build a Holocaust museum sitting next to Holocaust survivors about what the Nazis did in those early years.
No, I understand that.
I'm not talking about the Holocaust. I'm talking about what they were doing, taking away people's rights, arresting people, asking them for papers early on in an authoritarian regime. Wherever it is in the world throughout history, this is what happens. It's the beginning of something very bad for our country.
ICE is a reckless entity that cares little for the law and even less for the people that they're supposed to serve.
Aaron, ICE is the enemy, Nazis, Gestapo, not backing off. Why? Why do they think this is a winner?
Because Democrats fully believe and have for decades that law enforcement is the issue and not a support to their community. You can go back and look at the Defund the Police movement. You can look at them saying that Border Patrol agents were whipping migrants at the border, which was categorically false, but widely pushed by the liberal lunacy media and Democrats. And now you're continuing to see that they want to attack ICE. And why? Because they want to systematically handicap law enforcement in this country. It's Democrats and their allies. They believe by taking out law enforcement that they will ultimately get the means that they want in the United States. And here's the thing. When criminals are the ones that Democrats more fully support, illegal immigrants, you know who loses there? Citizens, legal immigrants, your friends, family, and neighbors, because Democrats and their allies have decided that attacking law enforcement and ICE and trying to dox them instead of safe communities is a better message for the American people. If you can make it make sense, Brian, I'd love to hear it.
Mark, illegal immigrants selling knockoff paraphernalia, shopkeepers in New York City on Canal Street called the cops to help. They didn't. So ICE came in. It seems like it's, everything's backwards in this story.
It is entirely. And look, First of all, this calling ICE Nazis is just, you know, these are our fellow Americans. These are law enforcement officers. These are people with families. It's just and doxing them is just crazy. But it's also political suicide for the Democrats. The Democrats have lost two presidential elections on the issue of illegal immigration. They lost to Donald Trump on this in 2016. Then they came back into power, and you'd think they would have learned their lesson. And instead, what they did is they unleashed the worst border crisis in American history, which helped usher Trump back into the White House. And so now that Trump is back, what are they doing? Do you think they've learned their lesson? Do you think they're moderating? They're going back to the Clinton policy of being opposed to supporting legal immigration, but opposed to illegal immigration? No, they're targeting ICE. They're sending senators to El Salvador to meet with gangbangers. They're storming ICE facilities. They're creating apps to track ICE. They have learned nothing from the American people. New York Times poll. 9 in 10 Americans want every single illegal immigrant with a criminal record to be deported from this country. If you're on the wrong side of a 90-10 issue, you've got a political problem.
ICE agents, if you're watching and your families, the four of us thoroughly appreciate you, and most of the other people watching right now do. Guys, thanks so much.
Amen.
Appreciate the debate. Next on this show, how to push to redistrict will impact future elections like the next one. We're going to talk about that with Brett Baer and see where we're at with that. And still to come, your health care is about to get a whole lot more expensive. What the shutdown means for your wallet with Senator Bill Cassidy. Don't move. And but be sure to catch me on Fox Nation, but on stage, History, Liberty, and Laughs. Pottstown, Pennsylvania in 6 days, and Fort Myers on Valentine's Day. History, Liberty, and Laughs. Don't forget to stream BrianKilmeade.com for tickets. Don't move.
Started to get very angry.
Pay now or you're going to jail.
How much did he get for it?
Over $500,000.
That's a life-ruining amount of money.
Yeah.
What we do is get into direct communication with a scammer.
Whoa!
Baiting scammers into a trap.
Click the link.
And confront those responsible.
We're looking for Jeffrey.
Hey, Jeffrey?
Get on your face!
What's better than a little slice of revenge?
Scammed, getting even. Streaming now on Fox Nation. Sign up at FoxNation.com.
Drawing the lines of power, everyone agrees. Whoever wins the midterm, it'll be a slim majority, especially in the House. That's why President Trump is looking to correct a pandemic-skewered census and is trying to push gerrymandering in states he feels not properly balanced. The first attack plan was against Texas, and it was a thumbs up. What else does he have so far? Who else is he targeting along with the Republican Party? Well, the new maps in Texas, as I mentioned, you got Ohio is going to be under scrutiny, Missouri, North Carolina, Kansas, Indiana, and Florida. That means the GOP could pick up, we estimate, roughly 15 seats. California looks to counter. They have a redistricting plan. It's on the ballot. It's called Prop 50, and they're going to bring back some seats with that. And guess who's heading the charge aside from Gavin Newsom? President Obama.
Our current president and his administration is explicitly saying that we want to change the rules of the game midstream. I could not be more appreciative of the work that Governor Newsom and the people of California are doing and saying, stop. This is not how American democracy is supposed to operate.
Yeah, exactly. Even though he was doing that right after he got out of office with his buddy Eric Holder, the former attorney general. Joining us now to expand on this is the author of the best-selling book, To Rescue the American Spirit, Teddy Roosevelt and the Birth of a Superpower. So, Brett, redistricting is a huge story kind of percolating underneath the shutdown and everything else. First off, why is President Obama so involved still? Does it surprise you?
He's plugging back in. Brian, good to see you. I think he's fears that this really could turn the tables as far as the numbers in the House. Remember, it's a very small majority, and you only need 4 or 5, or Republicans have to hold on. And you're talking about a shift of 15 to 20. Then you add the Supreme Court case on the Voting Rights Act. That's 19 seats potentially affected. So Democrats are losing the possibility of countering. Even if California goes Prop 50 way, that's 4 or 5 seats. You're looking at a big swing here that affects the ballot box big time come 2026.
A couple of things are going to happen. Number one, California,
that has roughly 40% Republicans are going to be basically out of luck. So lawmakers are going to be redistricted out. And you're going to have in Texas, Congresswoman Crockett's going to have nowhere to go. She might even run for the Senate. So let's take a look right now. It's 17 seats are rated as a toss-up. 11 seats are leaning Democrat, 10 seats leading Republicans. And that is really going to give you an idea of how they could flip the House or not flip the House and buck tradition.
Yeah. Now, listen, here's a caveat, is that all of these redistricting plans, and there are states that we don't know yet, they may get in the game on redistricting, they could be challenged in court. They could be really hung up in courts. I mentioned the Supreme Court on the Voting Rights Act, and that's about 19 seats. But these other states, there could be some pushback. And the other thing we don't know is really what the dynamic is as far as how each individual district operates. You know, you could be changing a district that may benefit, dilute Republicans in one way or another. It's really interesting. You got to go down into the weeds on the map to make sure you're doing it the right way.
Last thing on this, Gavin Newsom cover of Bloomberg this week, looking majestic, like he belongs on Mount Rushmore. He's really staking Prop 50, and they put $40 million into it minimum, and big guys like President Obama involved in it. They want to use that as a trampoline to keep his front-runner status come 2028, don't you think?
I do think. I don't think they're going to have a problem out there in California passing it. But if they did, the trampoline would not bounce. I do think he wants to run for president, is already running for president, and he's showing all those signals. There's a few others who are, including J.B. Pritzker from Illinois.
So your book is out, and I'm holding it right here, my complimentary copy, although I would have paid. It's prepared to rescue the American spirit, Teddy Roosevelt. There you go. So you spend a couple of years working on this. It's also a TV special. It's on Fox Nation right now. I want to take a clip for it. This is years that not many people talk about in Teddy Roosevelt's life that means so much. That's when he went to the Badlands, when North Dakota was just a territory. Watch.
I think he truly did fall in love with the outdoors. He spent long, long days in the saddle.
Yeah, and he met some characters out there who called him Four Eyes at the beginning, and he had to win them over, right?
He had to win them over. He even famously ended up getting challenged to have a duel. Thankfully, that didn't materialize. We might never have seen what Teddy would become.
Theodore Roosevelt's time in the Badlands allowed him to live the adventures he had only read about as a child.
And, Brett, you write about this in this book. What led him to take a break from New York politics to go out there?
It was despair and grief. He lost his wife, Alice. She was giving birth to their daughter, Alice, later named Alice, and his mother. And they died on the same day, Valentine's Day. And his grief overcame him. And he went there to escape and find himself, and he did. He loved the outdoors. That was a result of his upbringing and his debilitating asthma as a kid, a sickly kid. But he loved the outdoors. And when he went out west, he did find himself, and he did find, that's Alice, the picture of Alice. He did find a bunch of interesting characters, and he had to hold his own and buck up. And he does get in some fights and some rabble-rousing bar scuffles. But he establishes this life out there that eventually leads, when he retires, resigns from Assistant Secretary of the Navy, to this regiment, the Rough Riders. He gets guys from out there and fighters from Harvard and the Mid and the Northeast, and he puts them together in this kind of Star Wars bar of fighters to fight the Spanish-American War, and goes over to Cuba and charges up San Juan Hill.
And think about what a great presidential candidate he is. He knows what it's like to have money. He knows the rich. He knows what it's like to not have his health. That's how he grew up. Then he learns New York politics, and he has to build up his body, and he goes and sees the elite schools when he gets his Ivy League education. And then he gets to find out what the Midwest is like in America and his love of national parks. It shapes him to become, even though he's young, the perfect presidential candidate. Do you agree?
I do. I think that the establishment party never liked him because he stirred the pot and he pushed up against them. In fact, as he's New York governor, they come up with this plan to make him vice president, to essentially put him in a box. They're promoting up to get rid of him so he's not a troublemaker. Well, that lasts for 6 months after William McKinley is assassinated in Buffalo. And at 42, he becomes the youngest president ever.
Wow. Brett, congratulations on the book. It's a perfect time to put it out. And, of course, as we get ready to celebrate America's 250, it's called To Rescue the National, To Rescue the American Spirit, Teddy Roosevelt, and the Birth of a Superpower. Congratulations, Brett.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Meanwhile, coming up straight ahead on this show, as the shutdown showdown rages on, your health insurance premiums are set to go even higher. A doctor and senator, Senator Bill Cassidy, has the Republican plan to handle it regardless how this shutdown ends. Keep it right here. You're watching One Nation.
Welcome to Fox News Live. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer in New York. The government shutdown will soon enter into its 27th day, and signs of it ending are nowhere in sight. This as the U.S. Department of Agriculture says federal food aid will not go out on November 1st. The Trump administration also says it will not tap into the roughly $5 billion contingency fund to keep SNAP benefits going. That program helps 1 in 8 Americans buy their groceries. And the Trump administration continues to ramp up its military pressure on Venezuela by docking a missile destroyer in neighboring Trinidad and Tobago's capital. Venezuela's president calls the move an attempt by Washington to fabricate a new war. This comes as the U.S. continues to strike what it alleges are drug cartel boats in the Caribbean. Senator Lindsey Graham says land strikes in Venezuela are a, quote, real possibility. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer, and back to One Nation with Brian Kilmeade.
So the government shutdown is heading into its fourth week, and no deal is really inside. I don't think they're even talking to each other. The Democrat conspired to work through this work stoppage, and they're using health care subsidies as an excuse to not come to the table. And millions of Americans are likely to face sticker shock anyway when those key federal subsidies expire. On average, nationwide premiums for the Affordable Care Act are up 18%. Obamacare is now the Unaffordable Care Act, and it isn't working. If a Democrat's in power, they throw money at it. Republicans are trying to fix it. But do they have a plan to help now? Because we all agree it's a crisis, and no one wants to see a family going paycheck to paycheck struggle. So for aside from spending the bulk of his career in the medical field, Dr. Bill Cassidy is now a senator in Louisiana looking to fix this problem and looking to get 60 votes in the Senate. To get that budget passed or the continuing resolution confirmed. Senator, do you agree with Democrats that health care is a problem?
Health care has to be a problem. By the way, they're going up, the premiums are going up on the exchanges 30%. They're going up in the employer-sponsored insurance market 20%. That's like totally independent of the Obamacare exchanges. That's just what you and your employer are paying. Now Schumer could end the shutdown like today. But what we got to do is lower the cost of health care, not just paper it over for Obamacare exchange with subsidies. Let's lower the cost of health care for everybody. That lowers premiums in the employer-sponsored insurance market and on the exchange.
So that is the issue that they brought up, but it really has nothing to do with the continuing resolution. This is Biden's budget that you're on right now. You're looking to start your budget, and if the appropriation bills were done, you would have been debating that, handed in on time, wouldn't have needed a CR, but you do. So how do you handle this?
Well, first, again, Schumer can end this today. But the ironic thing is, if Schumer would open the government, there are bills that have been considered and passed and co-sponsored on a bipartisan basis that could lower the cost of health insurance for everybody. And like things that are like, you know, think of football, the New York Jet kid, you know, where you almost have broken the plane of the goal line and just a little bit of nudge and you can lower the premium substantially for everybody, including those on Medicare. Now, if Schumer would open the government, we can consider those, pass them, and lower premiums by lowering the cost of health care, not by dumping billions of federal taxpayer dollars to subsidize.
So I see right now they say that about 13 House Republicans in competitive reelection districts are asking the House Speaker to consider some way of extending the premium assistance. I'm pretty sure that's a no-go with the president. What about you?
Could you get a compromise going forward after that? You could actually lower the cost of health care. If Schumer would end the shutdown, we could start working on that. Right now we're stuck like something in amber. We need to break the logjam so we can put these proposals in place and save money for everybody.
So, Senator, I just got to ask you your opinion. What was over in Louisiana, you know, the two biggest cities are Baton Rouge and New Orleans, and crime has been an issue there in the past. You need cops. If the president said to you, I want to give you the team I put in Memphis, give you the team I put around D.C., give you the team in Portland and Chicago, would you take them in New Orleans?
Where the crime is bad. Because we know that no matter the color of the uniform, when you have law enforcement out there, crime goes down. It's not a permanent solution. You got to transition to greater support for state and local, particularly local police officers. The more local police you have, that is a permanent solution, and that's how you have safer streets. Let's get on it.
Right, and I know recruiting's been tough. It's tough to get cops. I was just in New Orleans the other day, and they were saying there's just not enough of them. Maybe the president could come in with some people and also bolster up recruiting as part of the program. Senator Bill Cassidy, one day I want to talk to you about your health care expertise and how to fix it as opposed to how to end the shutdown. In this case, we did both. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
Don't move. Next, only on One Nation, Jimmy Failla is here with the media moments that matter so much to him. Yes.
I never really believed people were born evil until I met Ted.
Blood had been drained from the body.
Is it hard to look at?
Ted, have you ever committed murder?
I certainly could kill anyone anywhere. But you remember if you've done something like that.
He enjoyed the chase. He enjoyed the capture. He enjoyed the whole thing.
Hunting Bundy, streaming now on Fox Nation.
You'll never know.
Links that matter.
All right, it's time for America's favorite segment. This week, I gave my only VCR, my TV guide, as well as all my cords and my tape stock to Jimmy Failla. He's the same Jimmy Failla from Fox News Saturday Night and your fantastic radio show, Jimmy. I gave you the VCR, and you just disappeared. Did you come up with anything?
I did, but I was confused because I thought you gave me the VCR because you lost money in an NBA poker game.
No, that's a whole different scandal.
I recorded stuff anyway. That's the good news. So here we go. Topic number one. KJP went on Stephen Colbert.
New book.
KJP's got a new book out. It proves you don't have to read them to write them. Okay, but she's on there hyping the new book. Doesn't go well. Colbert throws her a curveball and challenges her.
How do I know this
is true? On Biden's cognitive decline. I brought video proof. Watch this.
You're talking to a guy who helped raise $25 million for Joe Biden in March of that same year. And 3 months later.
And thank you for that. Thank you for stepping in and doing that.
I saw a guy who I had not seen backstage at the benefit that I did. It seemed like a dramatically different person. I don't think it was necessarily a betrayal of Joe Biden, as other people saying, we don't think we were shown Joe Biden,
Stephen,
that you saw.
I saw every day a really ugly assault on someone who had 50 plus years of experience.
I don't believe one word she said. Mm-mm. And I also don't believe she even saw him that much.
She's not even near him.
Yeah, and even if she did, she's either lying or she's lying about access to him. But I love this outrage now, Jimmy, from people that just covered for him forever.
The whole
time. Now they're acting like they're us.
I know, but what she doesn't get is she's supposed to lean in now, give it up and make the Jake Tapper money.
Absolutely.
You're not supposed to keep up the charade. Right. When they told her to shoot straight, they weren't talking about a new hairdo. Topic number two, here we go. Speaking of hairdos, a beauty queen blunder goes viral, Brian, after Miss Panama stepped forward thinking her name was called to advance to the semifinals of the Miss World pageant.
But it wasn't Miss Panama?
No, he had called out Miss Paraguay, but in the fog of war, she missed it. Here we go.
Miss Grand Paraguay! Congratulations to... I beg your pardon. I announce Miss Grand Paraguay.
If Trump still owned it.
There is a lot of noise in the...
Oh, that's got to be so embarrassing. Panama and Paraguay. Who knew the difference? Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever won a beauty pageant and really you were in second place, but they ended up that you thought you were in first?
No, but there was a famous incident where the announcer might have confused the two.
What do you mean?
Can we take a look? Can we do a little throwback?
You have more tape?
This is the kind of VCR work I did. I brought more supporting evidence. Let's take a look at this.
Miss Universe.
2015 is Philippines. This is exactly what's on the card. I will take responsibility for this. It was my mistake. It was on the card. Horrible mistake, but the right thing, I can show it to you right here. Still a great night. Please don't hold it against the ladies. Please don't.
Oh, I just feel so bad for everybody involved.
That was Steve Harvey. For people who don't know him, he also goes by his stage name, Miss Panama.
All right. So what about a little sports?
Yeah, topic number three. I love this one so much. So Joe Flacco kind of gave his own State of the Union about how his views have changed over the years, about guys who eat alone at bars.
Right.
You know, usually look like
sad sacks. Sad thing.
But when you think about it on a Joe Flacco level, it's actually a little bit cooler than
he thought. He's a quarterback that gets traded everywhere.
Joe Flacco has been in the NFL since the invention of the forward pass.
Yes.
Okay, the guy is in his late hundreds. He's on the Bengals this week, but here he is talking about bars.
Go sit at a restaurant by myself and realize that, man, that's pretty enjoyable to do. After there's not too many situations, I tell people all the time. I mean, I used to see guys sitting at a bar by themselves, or you know, just sitting by themselves eating and grabbing a little meal. And I'm like, man, I feel so bad for that guy. Like, you almost want to go join him. And now I realize, like, that dude was in heaven. And not to say that that's obviously not what I want. I'd rather be at home sitting at the dinner table with my kids.
But they're in New Jersey.
Amen. Amen. But while I got you here, since we talked about NFL football,
there's
a high school team across the way called the New York Jets.
Right.
Okay. Let me give you this Jet take from one of their fans who realizes what he's committed the rest of his life to doing as a Jet fan. Watch this.
Did I get your thoughts on the game?
I hate this team. I was born into this, and I'm not going to ever. I'm always a Jets fan, but like, I hate this team.
That's soundbite of the week. That is every Jet fan. You can't leave them.
Horrible.
But they just break your heart.
And people think there's no fans in the stadium. It's not true. They're just on the ledge of the roof waiting in line
they're
to jump.
The jump.
You're the
Jimmy,
best.
Congratulations
man,
on everything. On radio as well as TV. Good job.
You're the man.
All right, and check out all his stand-up appearances. Up next on our show, your sneak peek of the week. You'll know, I'll look at the right camera now. You'll know exactly what's coming up and how to make your schedule. Follow me on social media, Rumble, Instagram, X, and Facebook. And you could also join the Culprit Club. It's a top secret group that only Jimmy can get in. More on One Nation in a second.
Dry eye relief with the prescription.
Before we go out the door, your sneak peek of the week, a look at the week ahead. President Trump is in Asia. Yeah, he's in the air, where he's expected to meet with President Xi, we think, on Thursday of China. That'll be big. On Tuesday, don't forget, there's going to be a Senate hearing scheduled for the political violence we're seeing. This all in wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination. And, of course, on Wednesday, the Senate hearing to examine how the Biden administration pressured big tech companies to protect online speech. We know about that. Thursday, a confirmation hearing for Dr. Casey Means. She's supposed to be the next Surgeon General. I hope it all works out. World Series game number 3. It's happening on Fox. You got to watch. Speaking of watching, I want you to watch my radio show. You can listen to it as well. 6 to 9 a.m. amongst my great roster. Excuse me, 9 to noon. Among my great roster of guests will include Senator Mark Wayne Mullen and Tommy Lahren. Fox and Friends in, I don't know, a few hours. We're going to have a great roster of guests. It's a can't miss. Remember, this message. Always stay within yourself and keep it right here on Fox News. I'm going to go change. Get ready for Fox and Friends.
It's Will Kane Country. Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday at foxnews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss the show. Listen and follow the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.